have one of my favorite preachers speak to you today. I used to tell my kids when they were young, we're going to work hard because we're taking the rest of the day off, and you will appreciate the rest of the day because you worked hard up to it. So I knew that Aaron and Ben were, it's their 15th anniversary this week. Come on up, Aaron. And she told me in the first service I could say this, it's her 40th birthday on Friday. And so they're going away tomorrow, and I thought, what better thing to do than to have her work hard this morning that she will enjoy her day off even more, right? And Carrie Cardinelli has the great CD in the back. On your way out, stop and get one of these. She'll be a blessing to you all the time. I want you to give at the 10 a.m. service this morning, Pastor Aaron Martin, who sows her and her husband their lives into the work of the Lord at City Church and St. Anthony's. Give her a big, come on, a big God bless you today.
Thank you. A real clap should go for Pastor and Patty because they, no matter who they're around, they see their gifts and their talents, and they continually just encourage people around them to be who God has called them to be. So let's give Pastor and Patty the clapping this morning. So Ben and I, we actually celebrate our 15th anniversary June 30th. But we're celebrating it this week. We had never actually gone on a honeymoon, and so I had always said, you know, by our 15th anniversary, we need to go somewhere together. So that dream is coming true this week, and yes, I turned 40. I'm kind of struggling with that a little bit because it's like you're 40, you have to have your life together, and I don't feel like that at all, but 40. So anyway, but I'm still 39 today. So this morning, I want to talk to you about a message titled called How Did I Ever Survive. How did I ever survive? Do you ever have days, weeks, months, maybe it was this morning, you look back and you're like, how did I even survive that time in my life, that moment in my life? Like, how did we survive that? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How did I ever survive? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much, again, just for your love and the grace that you show to every single one of us. God, help us to show that love to other people, no matter who it is around us. And I just pray that as the next few moments go by, God, that you take me out of the equation, as I always pray, all of you, more of you, and less of me. In Jesus' name, amen. How did we ever survive? Our mothers wiped our faces with spit on a hanky and not an antibacterial wipe. How did we survive? So for me, I've had many experiences in life where I look back over time periods, certain times in my life, and I think, how did I make it through that? You know, how am I even here right now today? Like, how did I get here? How did I survive those moments in my life? And I'm sure you have those moments too where you can think about maybe hard times or tough times or moments that you've been through and you think, how did I survive? You know? And so last month I had another one of those reminders in my life. And so I'm just going to share with you what had happened to our family. So it was the end of June. Last couple weeks of June, my daughter got really sick, you know, throwing up. She had a fever. She was not herself. If you know Addison, she's Rapunzel today if you see her. You know, she's just very full of life, and she just was not herself at all for like 4 days. Took her to the doctor. Of course, it's a viral thing, you know. And so as a mom, your life just kind of stops because you want to do everything you can to make her feel better. So she gets through that. A day later, my son gets sick. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, okay, same drill. Bring him to the doctor because I wasn't going to go through 4 days of this. But, you know, it just happened to be what it was. He had a fever laying on the couch. Again, he never gets sick. So I'm just like, oh, my goodness. So after that week, I'm like, all right, let's clean everything, right? You wipe everything down. You hose everything off. And so 2 days after that, he was better. 2 days after that, I go in for some dental work and everything seemed fine. The next day, I woke up and the whole side of my face was very swollen. I was like, oh, it's fine. It's just dental work. You know, it happens. The day after that, I woke up and my whole eye was actually swollen shut. And so my whole side of my face was very swollen. And so I called my dentist and he gave me some antibiotics. And he said, just be careful, though, that it doesn't start going down your throat and you don't get a fever. Okay. So Sunday comes and that's exactly actually what happened. My throat started getting very swollen. I started getting a fever. And so Ben was like, okay, I'm taking you to the ER. Meantime, we're actually camping with some friends. And I had said this in the first service, but this is a whole nother message. Make sure you're hanging out and doing life with people that you can trust your kids with. Because that time that I was in the hospital, I didn't worry about my kids because I knew they were around people that loved them and that would watch them and take care of them just like I did. And so that's a whole nother message that maybe for another time. But so I didn't worry about my kids that whole time. But so Ben took me to the ER. They were taking CAT scans. They put an IV in my arm, you know, like, and again, worse things can happen, right? But when you're going through these things, you're going through it. And so you kind of feel bad that you're feeling bad because you know worse things could happen. But then at the same time, you're like, but I feel like crap right now. Like, what's happening, you know? So I'm in the hospital, IV. They're pumping steroids, medicine. They took a CAT scan. They found these pockets on the back of my throat. So they want to transfer me to Strong. So Ben takes me up to Strong. We're in that ER. And crazy. If you've ever been to Strong ER, I mean, that place is crazy, right? And so we're in the hallway, and I'll give you the not-so-nasty, gory version, but two people in front of me, they were getting stitches in their arm. Now, I'm like, if you ever have a fever, my fever was high. It was like 103, and then it would go back down to 99 and then shoot back up. And so you're almost like delusional lane. They're watching this guy get stitches right there in the hallway. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Ben had fallen asleep, like, on the bench, you know, and my eyes are like, is this really happening? And then the person in front of me, she's, like, screaming, like, that her legs were on fire. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what is happening, you know? So finally, they move me to this room, and I'm on surveillance. And so July 4th, I actually got out of the hospital. We went home. They gave me the meds that I needed. So it turned out that I actually had a needle tract infection. You don't hear about these because they said it's a 1 in a million chance that you will get this infection. 1 in a million. I said, thanks. I knew I was 1 in a million, but did you have to show me this way? So I'm like, what in the world? So, and then we get out of the hospital, you know, 2 weeks after that, I'm just still just pushing through, you know, your body's gone through a lot. While we were in the hospital, because I have an awesome husband who stayed with me, he contracted an eye infection in his eye, bacterial and viral, of course. Can you get those at the same time? Yes, you can. So he couldn't see out of his eye. They're scraping membranes off of his eye. Disgusting. But so he gets that. And by that time, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, enough is enough. I just cannot take this anymore. And honestly, I was breaking inside. But again, you want to be strong because, again, worse things can happen, right? But so you're trying to be strong, but inside I was like going crazy. I was breaking inside. And so how do we ever survive those type of things, right? Because we all know and we've all been through ups and downs in life. We all have them. We're good. And then all of a sudden something happens. We're like, oh, not so good. And so we all have these ups and downs in life. And so how do we ever survive those moments? So today I want to share with you lessons of a survivor. There's different definitions of a survivor. There's even a TV show called The Survivor. Our Pastor Patty, she's a survivor of breast cancer. So there's different definitions of survivor. But today we're going to focus on a person who copes well with difficulties in their life. So a survivor this morning is a person who copes well with difficulties in their life. And so I just want to share with you some truths that God revealed to me in those probably 6 weeks in my life. So the first one is, in order to be a survivor, we need to stand firm in who we know to be true. Stand firm in who we know to be true. I'm a Googler. So when something happens, you know, if my body starts feeling weird, the kids start going through something, I'm like, I put it all in. High fever, not feeling good, right? And so when you go on Google, it's never good. It's never good when you Google your symptoms of what you're going through, right? You can get a paper cut. It doesn't end well. Does not end well. So on that, my husband would be like, what are you reading? What are you doing? I'd be like, nothing. He's like, put down your phone. Okay. So we have all these things coming at us in life, right? All these opinions, all these just stuff what we're reading that we're going through. But we need to know through that all who to stand on. And we need to stand on who we know to be true. In Luke 21, I'm going to start actually at verse 12. This is Jesus talking about nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom and all this stuff. And then he says, but before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you. They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. That would be worst day ever, right? But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win souls. Standing is an action word. It's an action word. It takes courage to stand. It takes courage to be the strong one, to stand on the solid rock. You need courage and you need strength to do that. The Bible says to be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. I love this quote by Abraham Lincoln. He says, "Be sure to put your feet in the right place and then stand firm." What are you standing on? Who are you standing on? Are your feet on the right place? Are you standing in the right place? Be sure to put your feet on the right place and then stand firm. So the only way that we're going to stand firm is by standing on God's word, because his word will never return void. That's what the Bible says. It says, "So my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty." It's the only solid truth that we can stand on. So when we go through things in life, we need to know who to stand on, and that is the truth of God, the word of God. When life doesn't go as planned, we need to stand firm. When we don't understand, we need to stand firm. When we are doubting, when we're questioning, we need to stand firm. When we get unexpected news, we need to stand firm on who we know to be the truth. Amen? The second thing is, in order to be a survivor in life, we need to know that God is with us. This is a very simple thing, but who do we say is never with us the moment we get bad news? God. We go through something, we're like, "God, where are you now?" Right? He's the first person that we blame. And yet it's the most simple truth that God is with us. His name itself means Emmanuel. Emmanuel means what? God with us. God is with us. And he reiterates this truth to us over and over in the Bible. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Hebrews 13:5 says, "Never will I leave you nor forsake you." Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." He was with Joshua going into the promised land. If you read Joshua 1, God must tell him like 4 or 5 times, "Be strong, be courageous. I will be with you. I'll be with you." And he keeps telling him this. He was with David when he was going up against a giant. I love this verse in 1 Samuel. It says, "David replied to the Philistine, 'You come at me with sword, and with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head.'" I love that. "And cut your head off." But David knew that God was with him. Nobody else did. Everybody else was hiding in the hills. They were scared of the giant in front of them. And David, this little kid, says, "But God's with me. God's with us. Why aren't we fighting this dude? Like, come on, let's go." He knew that God was with him. And God is with us as well. We will lose our fear when we realize that God is near. We may start to do it afraid, and that's okay. I'm afraid a lot. I'm afraid right now. Like, we can start doing things afraid, but we got to do it scared sometimes, because then God comes in. And when we look back, we know that God has been with us the whole time. I have to tell you the story about little Ryan Jr. Make sure you know this is Jr., because this would be a real weird story if it was Ryan Sr. So we're doing Adopt a Black, which I encourage everyone to come on out with us on a Saturday. But so we're doing Adopt a Black. We're going up to doors, knocking on doors, and we're inviting people to come to the picnic and parking lot. And so I was with little Ryan and my daughter Addison, and so we're walking and we're knocking, and every door we'd go up, I'd be like, "All right, Ryan, it's all you." You know, next door, "It's all you, Ryan, you got this. saw you, you know, 3-4 doors go by, and at one moment the door opened, because sometimes they open, sometimes they don't. The door opened, and both Addison and Ryan go, and like look right at me. I'm like, okay, I got this, you know. And so we're towards the end. I'm like, Ryan, you got this. Just, you know, just invite them to the church. It doesn't have to sound like anything. Just, you know, tell them who we are. Invite them to the picnic in the parking lot. So he's standing there. He's a doorbell ringer. And so the door opens, and he starts talking. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so cute. So he starts talking. He invites this guy to come on out. He shuts the door. Thank you, you know. And he turns around, big old smile on his face. And he's like, and I didn't even stutter. And I was like, no, you didn't. And we, you know, we fist bump. It was just the cutest thing. And after that, I just thought, man, this is how God is with us. You know, he's like that. He's with us. He's like, come on, you can do it. You got this. We get scared. We don't do it. God takes care of it. Come on, you can do this. You can do this. And he's constantly like, you can do this. And then when we finally work up enough courage to open up our mouths or to do what he's called us to do, he was with us the whole time. He wasn't going to let us fail. He wasn't going to let us fall. And right when we turn around, you know, he goes, I want to do another one. And isn't that just how we are? When we realize that God is with us, he gives us that confidence to keep going because we know that he is with us. And that's the first thing that we forget, but it's the last thing that we should not forget. Like, we need to realize and know that God is with us no matter what you're going through, no matter whether it's a tough time, an easy time, a good time, a happy time, a scary time, a mad time. God is with us through every season in our life, and that's how we are to be a survivor when things come at us. In order to be a survivor, another thing in life is we need to learn to lean on God. To lean on God. I found myself leaning on God, realizing it, I guess, more the past month than I ever had before. There are some people who lean on other people, right? We get bad news and we automatically pick up the phone or we start texting our friends and we want to lean on other people. And that's not bad. You know, God gives us people, like I said, to walk through life in. But the problem is when we lean completely on other people is that people get tired, right? People get tired. We can even say, yeah, but it's a good Christian person. Yep, Christians get tired too. We get tired. And so ultimately, we need to be leaning on God, ultimately. So this song, some of you may know it, kept coming to my mind, and I would sing it, only the chorus, because that's all I could remember. Some of you may remember the song, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. So I kept singing that over and over to the point where my son was like, again, are you singing that song? What is that song? Like, what are you singing? And it was, you know, it's an old hymn, but I just kept singing those verses over and over again because I needed to learn to lean on God. And leaning on God doesn't mean just believing in God. Leaning on God means totally depending completely and exclusively on God. When you lean on God, you expect him to hold you up. Or when you lean on something, you expect him to expect that thing to hold you up. So I came over here very confidently, trying not to slip or trip, but to sit in this chair, right? When I sit in this chair, I am fully confident that this chair is holding me up. All of you are sitting in chairs that you are fully confident they're holding you up. And we do this every day. We place our confidence and we rely on things that we don't even think twice about. So why is it that we think twice about leaning on God? Why is it that we push him aside on those things? If I was to go up against that wall, I would be completely trusting that that wall was going to hold me up. And that's how we need to be with God. We need to fully rely that on the confidence that God will hold us up in situations and not other people and not ourselves. Sometimes we think we can do it on our own. Like, yeah, I got this, God, don't worry about me. No, God, I need you and I need to lean on you because that's what leaning is, fully trusting the source you are leaning on. Are you fully trusting the source that you're leaning on? In Psalm 71, I encourage you to read this whole chapter because it's a beautiful story of a guy who trusted and relied on God his whole entire life. In verse 5 and 6, it says, "For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb, and I will ever praise you." And when you read this story, you'll see that it's a beautiful story of a life that truly trusted in God, his protection over his life. And this guy knew that in God's arms, he could find the answer. He found hope. He found protection. He found refuge when he was leaning on God his whole life. Proverbs 3:5, we always hear, but it's so true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because God's ways are higher than ours. He understands it more than we understand it. So we should be leaning on his word. God gave me this when I was laying there, and I wrote it down right away on my phone. When you are going through something, lean into what God is showing you and not what the devil's throwing at you. Lean into what God is showing you, not what the devil's throwing at you. We all face situations, and we can either lean into what God is showing us, like, God, what are you trying to show me right now, God, because I'm not quite getting it. Or we can lean into what the devil's throwing at us. We can make the problem really big, right? We can make it huge and not even realize that God is in it, you know, that God wants to show us something, and we focus on what the devil's throwing at us and not what God is trying to show us. And so in times that we're going through something, lean in. I encourage you to lean into what God is showing you, not what the devil's throwing at you. In order to be a survivor, the last one, we need to every day, proclaim God's authority in your home. Every day. So a lot of times what happens is when we go through something, we get mad, right? We need to recognize and be mad, though, at the right person, the devil. The Bible says that he is roaming to and fro, seeking who he may devour. Who's going to get it today? Let's see who I can knock over today. And that's what he does. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life. We get mad at the wrong thing sometimes. We need to start getting mad at the devil. Even Jesus, I thought of this story today. Even Jesus, when Peter, I can't remember the exact exchange, Peter came up to Jesus and started saying something, and Jesus recognized right away that it was the enemy. And he said, "Satan, get behind me." He was talking to Peter, but he knew it was the enemy. We have to recognize the enemy when he's trying to come at us in our lives. And we need to proclaim that authority over our home. I remember just coming home, just being really tired. Ben had taken the kids out, and I got up from the couch, and I just started going room to room because I was done. You know, you just get to the point where you're done. I'm done. This is not going to be in my house anymore. So I just start praying. I go into each bedroom. I go in Jesus' name. Sometimes too, we were like, well, I don't know what to say. Just start saying Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, speaking in tongues. If you don't know how to do that, I encourage you to listen to Thursday night's message. It'll teach you how to speak in tongues, because when you speak in tongues, like, you're saying and you're praying things to God that the enemy doesn't understand, so he's going to get scared and run. So I'm praying. I'm cursing at the devil. You know, I don't care. I want him out of my house. You know, I was done. But the Bible says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we need to learn how to fight that way. We need to learn how to speak that way. Because when stuff is coming at us, this is the only way we're going to get through it. How did Jesus defeat the devil when they were in the desert? Do you remember that? He spoke word. He spoke the word. And the enemy didn't like that. Anything the enemy said, Jesus spoke God's word to it. So how are we going to fight things in life? We're going to speak the word. That's why the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." We got to get this in our hearts so that we're able to speak it over our homes. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. They have divine power to demolish strongholds." You're going through something, you have a stronghold in your life, you begin to proclaim Jesus' name over your house. You begin to say, "In the name of Jesus, get out. I pray healing over my house. I pray protection over my house. I pray the blood of Jesus." Because the Bible says that they have overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. These are the things that need to come out when you're facing something. That's the only thing that's going to work. Because you can try it in your own strength. But until I started proclaiming Jesus' word in over our home, Jesus' word over my life, that's the thing that really lifted it up. I was still feeling sick. It didn't instantly go away. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But I began to proclaim, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. And you begin to proclaim these things. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Every day, we can't stop. We don't stop proclaiming the name of Jesus over our home. We need to recognize that when we're going through something. The Bible says in James, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We submit to God. We resist the devil. Not today, Satan, right? Not today, Satan. You're not coming at me today, and he will flee from you. So it's easy to praise God sometimes, to come in church, everything's going good, and that's good. Those are good times, right? When you can come in and be like, yeah, life is really good right now. I love those times. But we all have those times where it's hard to come into church or it's hard to serve God. How do you survive those times? How do you get through those times? Because for me, the type of person that I strive to be, it's not always easy, that I strive to be is that I want to run to God when those things happen. I don't want to run away from him. I want to run to him. I want to stand on who I know to be true. I want to know that God is with me. I want to lean on God. And I want to proclaim God's power in my home so that I can look back and say, I am a survivor. And my prayer is for you today that you realize that you are a survivor. When God is first in your home, when you lean into him, when you know that God is with you, you are a survivor too. And you can be a survivor when we remember these things. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for coming into our lives, God. I pray that as we walk through life, we recognize you in it, God, that we lean into you, God, that we lean on you, God, that we know that you're with us and that we're able to speak life over our homes. And I just thank you for every person here, God, that no matter what they're going through, God, that they would know that they can get through it, that they too can survive with you on their side. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great job. Come on, can you put your hands together? Benjamin, come down here. Ben Martin. He loves it when I do this.